Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss your problems, questions you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. A child is like a white paper on which you can write good things or bad things. Entire personality of a child is developed by the parents, by the upbringing they do. And in this program, we try to provide all the necessary information that is required to bring up your child in the best possible way. The answers of your questions are based upon Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Today near our studio, we have had the pleasure to invite Professor Salman Nakavi, who is a faculty member of Al Mustafa University and researcher in the Hausa Ilmiya of Qom. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
Well, Professor Nakavi, we have been discussing in our previous sessions as educators what parents need to have in themselves to upbring a child properly. But at the same time, I even asked you in one of the sessions that do even the teachers need to have, or the trainers need to have, the same kind of knowledge, education that could actually meet our demands, the output or a result that we want as parents? Well, we have many parents living in the Western countries, or many parents living in some non-Muslim countries. And I would want you to suggest them, because we have many questions coming in from the audiences who say that what kind of school we should put in our children to.
Yes, that is not only a problem which the Muslims in the West are facing. Even in our Muslim countries, we have this problem. We think, as I was mentioning, that we teach them the Quran. Yes, it is the responsibility of the parents, especially the father, to teach his children the Quran.
Okay.
But how we teach them is important.
All right.
And it's not just teaching them to recite it, but also its meanings, its importance, it's the how to implement the Quran in our lives.
Okay.
It's not just teaching them the Quran and be able to recite the verses, holy verses, for example, in the Salah and the Namaz.
Right.
That's not it. It's a whole. The Quran is for the for as a code for the whole of our lives. So the parents.
It's an instruction book for us.
Yes. So that when it is told that the when it is emphasized that the parents, and especially the father, is has this responsibility of teaching them the Quran. It's not just teaching them to recite it properly.
Yeah.
It's teaching them how to implement it in their lives.
All right.
And that's teaching them how to live their lives according to the Quran. That's a very important thing, very difficult thing, and of course any person can't be able to do it. He can't be expected to do it on his own. He has to send the child to the school also for formal education.
Yes,
depends on the school which we send. But many parents in the West especially say, okay, we'll teach them the Quran and our aqaid at home, and manners we teach them at home. Let them go to a school which is an excellent school. As education is considered to be just teaching, imparting knowledge, making them scientists and technologists and whatever, that is important, because that is important for their living.
All right.
So they're compartmentalizing again. Something for the akhirah, something for this world.
Okay.
This is, as I have mentioned, is a sort of shirk. You say, what we do, what we learn in the Quran or the aqaid or the beliefs or whatever, practices which we carry out in the form of worship, that's something for our personal lives.
Okay.
That's going to guarantee our salvation in the hereafter.
Okay.
But when we want them to live in this world, they have to go to the best schools, mm-hmm. get the best degrees, get yes. the best work, job. That's something separate from religion, nothing to do with deen.
All right.
So that is the person's mindset, that secular mindset which we have.
Okay.
Whereas when we send them to a school, which is, of course, imparting education, as it is said, quality education.
All right.
Quality education does not necessarily mean
everything.
Does not mean that you are making them competent human beings.
Exactly. So in order to make them competent human beings, what else is required? I'll ask you that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Professor Naqavi. We're discussing which schools should be your child sent to. So, Professor Naqavi, you said that just quality education is not enough. Then what else?
Quality education, if described and explained properly, is sufficient. But what do we mean by quality education?
All right.
Does quality include those principles and ideology for life that is there within Islam and Islamic teachings? Is quality education making us good human beings? Is quality education making us good practicing Muslims? Then if that is the case, quality education is necessary.
Okay.
But if we mean quality education making us good job seekers, people who are at the end of the day, slaves of this imperialistic, capitalistic system in the world.
Yeah.
They're making them money-making machines, triple
yeah.
M's.
Yeah.
If that is what we imply by quality education, no.
That's not sufficient.
So we need to find a school where this education, as it is said, quality in education, is embedded with Islamic principles and values.
All right.
Do we have school teachers who, while they're teaching mathematics, while they're teaching science, while they're teaching even a language, they are bringing forward the Islamic principles and values within these teachings?
All right.
I mean, when you talk about, for example, when you go to a class on biology,
yeah,
and you start talking about the theory of Darwin, the theory of evolution.
Which contradicts with Islamic.
Which apparently contradicts with our worldview. But if it is presented in a way that it seems to be a theory with amongst other theories.
Okay.
Which may or may not necessarily contradict. But basically, the teacher is capable of making the student understand that even if we accept the theory of evolution as presented by Darwin, even today if it has become something accepted by the academia, even then it does not negate the need for the first cause. Do we have teachers capable of doing that?
All right.
Today, in the West,
yeah,
in the Western schools, in America especially, there's a conflict, there's a debate between intelligent design and evolution.
Yeah.
Now, these are at loggerheads. Even political issues emanate from them. So we are, by accepting the theory of evolution, trying to negate intelligent design.
Yeah.
Whereas it may not be the case. Or it may be. In any case, if we go for this theory and leave that alone, that means we're not talking about the worldview that Islam wants to give us.
That's not quality education, basically, as per us.
Even in the Islamic countries.
Yeah. We'll discuss more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Professor Naqavi. We are discussing what tools a school must have in order to be providing that Islamic education. Even if the schools are not Islamic and they are providing kind of quality education that does not contradict with Islamic values, do you think that would be okay and parents then provide the Islamic values at home, especially for those who are living in non-Islamic countries?
If really we have some institutions like that, then okay, the parents would have to do a lot of...
They would have to fill in the blanks.
Exactly. They would have to take a great deal of effort. It would take a great deal of effort from on their part to be able to complement what the school is giving. Yes, if the school is developing critical thinking, if it is developing
something that contradicts with our values.
The school environment is providing good emotional training.
Okay.
Controlling your temperament, controlling your anger, stress management, time management, things which are important as competent human beings.
Exactly.
It's good. If we have certain institutions that do that and they do not negate Islamic values and principles, and there is such an institution, okay.
Okay.
If there is such an institution, then it's okay. But I don't know whether there are such institutions. On the other hand, the problem is the schools which are being set up by the Islamic community, Muslims in various parts of the world, even in Islamic countries, they want to provide Islamic education or education within an Islamic environment. That is, those efforts are mostly at the expense of quality education in that temporal sense, in that secular sense.
Yeah.
So the problem is quality education, as it is understood today, as compared to education in an Islamic environment, these are two things which are not coming together.
Yeah.
Those who claim to be good Islamicists with a good Islamic worldview, they feel difficulties in providing that quality education. And that's the divide, and that's the problem that we have, that those who have Islamic credentials don't have these credentials, are necessary. So this gap has to be bridged.
Exactly. So even like if I, as a parent, I'm living in some non-Islamic country wherein I don't have access to very Islamic values that are being taught formally in the school, but there's a good quality education that is being provided in the schools, and then there's just these Islamic things that are missing, I could actually, as a parent, complement that by giving Islamic teaching at home with discussions. Like, for example, if my child was taught time management in school, I could complement this discussion with just explaining the contemplation of Surah Asr, and then this could actually actually fill in that gap that was left behind, and this could actually bring about a good change.
That would require the parents to become a part of the formal education also.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you want to listen to our programs again, please go back to our official website. That's www.parstoday.com. If you have any questions, any suggestions, any comments for our program, please feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also search us on our social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam Radio. And when you go to our official website, parstoday.com, you'll find a tab, Call of Islam. Over there, you can find our programs. Until another session, fi amanullah, God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.